And welcome now to The Midday. I'm Norman.
I'm Stephanie, and we're delighted to welcome legendary violinist, violist, conductor, teacher, chamber musician.
Bon vivant.
Bon vivant, that's right. Scintillating conversationalist, Pinchas Zukerman. He can be heard on over 130 recordings, and he's won the Grammy for Best Chamber Music Performance, Best Classical Performance for an Instrumental Soloist with Orchestra. He received the National Medal of Arts from President Ronald Reagan and the Isaac Stern Award for Artistic Excellence, among many, many other honors and awards. And he's here in Wisconsin along with his wife, the brilliant cellist Amanda Forsyth. They're going to appear with the Madison Symphony Orchestra this weekend. In fact, both will be playing solo works, and you will be conducting, and you'll be performing together. It's going to be an action-packed weekend. Welcome, Pinchas Zukerman.
Nice to be here again.
You know, a few weeks ago, we had another husband and wife duo here. We had Sir James and Lady Jean Galway. Is this an upcoming trend, do you think? How's it working for you?
You mean marriage?
Well, that would be an upcoming trend, wouldn't it? That's maybe on the upswing, too.
Well, for me, it's very nice, you know, to be together with my wife and playing with her and traveling together all over the world. And we sometimes bring along some other friends who play chamber music, so it's terrific.
How much of the orchestral repertory is there for that combination of, you know, violin and cello and solo roles?
Well, there are about maybe just about a half a dozen pieces or so. Of course, the most famous one is the Brahms double.
Yeah.
We actually played that here about 5 or 6 years ago. This Saint-Saëns is fairly new for us. We're also playing in about 10 days or so back in Ottawa. We're going to be playing the Rosa Concerto, but only one movement.
Klaus Rosa, the composer known so much for his film scores, too.
Yeah, Big Her. Ben Hur?
Yeah. Big Her. Big Her. Big Ben.
Her and him, yeah, Big Ben. Tick-tock. So, so that's a kind of a new one for us as well. So we're getting there.
Do you play a lot of chamber music together?
Oh, yeah. We have a group called Zukerman Chamber Players, for better or for worse names. And we travel all over the place. It's two of the members are former students of mine, and they also happen to be playing the orchestra, the principal players. So they're really fantastic.
And the orchestra is the orchestra that you're music director for in Ottawa, the
right.
National Arts Center Orchestra.
Right.
And Amanda, I believe, is the principal cellist
with
that orchestra, too. So you have lots and lots of performance opportunities.
Oh, yeah. I say it with a stick, and I say it without the stick. No, okay.
So when you conduct the Mozart Violin Concerto No. 5 as the solos at the same time, that's pretty much the way Mozart used to do it, is it not? Do we know?
I don't know for sure, but I would imagine so, yes. Mainly from the piano. He really did a lot more from the piano. He wrote 20-some concertos for the piano. He actually, after this concerto, he wrote to his father that he didn't think he was good enough to play the violin, so he stopped writing. But, of course, he didn't, because he wrote some extraordinary violin stuff in the symphonies and the chamber music and so on. So it's remarkable, remarkable music. I wish he had written a few more concertos, but
Just five.
Well, we'll live with what we have.
And these were written when he was still a teenager, weren't they? 19, 20 years old, something?
Yes, this one, I think he was just 19 when he finished this one, yeah.
And it's a fairly challenging piece, that Turkish.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the first time a composer asked for the bow to be played with the wood. It's not called collegno, because that actual term came in much later, but he says in the score to play with the wood in the Turkish part of it. Why it's called Turkish, I have no idea. But it's so it's kind of inventive in that sense as well. It's wonderful.
Well, we just heard in the past hour his 40th symphony, which has a very Turkish-sounding finale to it. It's that rhythm, you know, and it was a thing that was all the rage in those years, the 1770s and 80s, so maybe it was just a marketing thing as much as anything else.
Marketing thing? Oh, I don't know about that one. I won't go there, though.
Well, speaking of nationalities, let's hear something Spanish, and this is Pinchas Zukerman back, 1986, or perhaps even before that. and it has been reworked by Fritz Kreisler, of course, the great violinist and composer. This is the Spanish Dance from the opera La Vida Breve by Manuel de Falla, and it's our guest Pinchas Zukerman with pianist Mark Nykrug. Pinchas Zukerman and Mark Nykrug back maybe 1985, 1986 with Manuel de Falla's Spanish Dance from La Vida Breve as arranged for a virtuoso violinist by Fritz Kreisler.
Our guest is Pinchas Zukerman, and we mentioned in the introduction that you've made over 100 recordings. Are you working on anything in particular right now?
As far as recording?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, no, not at the moment. Well, we're doing a few more things in Canada, I guess, live performances, not as much as we used to, but the CBC still comes around once in a while, and because we're probably going to, they said they're going to come by next week and do Mrs. Salamis. We're doing the Mrs. Salamis for the first time in Ottawa, so for the orchestra.
Are you conducting that?
Yes. So we'll probably... They will take that one. And then we're doing on a Sunday, that following Sunday, we're doing a concert, what we call Mafaza, music for Sunday afternoon. And then we have a young boy, 14, very talented boy, a Polish descent from Calgary. He's a wonderful pianist. He's playing the first half. He's playing Chopin. And we're doing the Schubert Octet.
Oh,
which
that's
I'm
a big
leading.
One. Big so, and beautiful.
Yeah. So it's... So those, for example, next week is two... they stream it now. They do all kinds of things with it. The actual CD recording, I suppose it could come out as a live recording, but who would bring it out? I don't know. I have no idea. And if they do, God bless them. It's good for the audience.
Well, we're still playing CDs here, so if they bring it out, we'll play it.
Well, you know, we were in Auckland, meaning we were in New Zealand, and the Auckland station is quite fantastic. They have 24 hours a day. It used to be in Canada. We used to have CBC 24 hours a day, 24/7, and they stopped that now. There's not classical music all the time. But it's quite fantastic, and it does pay dividends in bringing up children, the school systems. They visit the orchestras are working very well there. It's only 4 million people in the whole island, so it's nice to see. It's nice to see that still exists.
You've made quite a commitment to young people. Do you maintain a teaching studio, I think?
Manhattan School of Music, right.
Mm-hmm. And also a music instrument fund, I think I read.
Well, we have a few things, yes. At the orchestra in Ottawa, we've started a foundation for the orchestra members. We have quite a few instruments now, and it's very nice. It's good. I have my own foundation, which I help young kids either travel or get an instrument or something. We've had, over 10 years now, we've had something called Summer Music Institute, which has many components in it, of conducting, teaching, and composing, and so on and so forth. Obviously, string instruments, piano, voice. And we've had almost close to 700 kids go through the system now. And some of them are doing very, very well. A lot of them, actually, I should say. I'm very proud of that. I find that that's something that's going to be there for a long time.
There seems to be more and more scientific information, data, out that indicates this connection between the exposure of anyone to music, children in particular, and the way they're able to accomplish tasks of other kinds.
Absolutely. It's been there for many, many years.
and more and more information coming out on that, and yet there are places still where the music is in retreat, you might say, among broadcasters.
Well, you know, I think we look for numbers. Bottom line numbers. In that sort of instance, for example, you can't. And the reason you can't is because it takes time. A 5 or 6 or 7 year old, it takes time until they get to be 14 and 15 to see the actual fruits. But nevertheless, what we have to convince our legislators, amongst many others, and parents as well, is that you have to put a seed. Just stick that kid in someplace. Let it be a seed. And it'll happen by itself. Yes, they need some guidance, of course. How do we do that? Well, just take a look at Venezuela. When it started in 75, Sistema was nothing. I played there 90 and 91. It was still called the Bolivar Orchestra. Now it's called the Bolivar Youth Orchestra. And what it actually is in a way, what has happened there is the teachers that are there, in particular one that I know very well. We were in Meadowmount, our summer camp with Mr. Galamian had up in Adirondacks, New York. He's been teaching there. He's been teaching because he's the proper teacher. So
very
no
famous.
Wonder it sounds like that. You know? Yes, Abreu is a genius. There's no question. A great visionary. And whatever we think politically of Mr. Chavez, he's putting the money where his mouth is, you know, right now. So I think it's very important that we do take a look at all that and just say, yes, we can make social change. And social change takes time anyway. I don't see how by going to more wars we're going to create social change. That's not going to happen. And it's not the money. It's the fortitude of the people behind what they say in all the school systems and go out there. We've created an ambassador program, for example, in Canada, where we take orchestras in different provinces and send them out to different cities and different villages and things, little seeds, and it's paying different. In fact, they can't see on the radio, but I'm wearing a T-shirt, a blue sweatshirt called Kispiax. Kispiax is a native reservation about 800 kilometers north of Vancouver. We were there about 4 or 5 years ago with the orchestra. When we go on tour, we have sometimes over 100 different outreach programs on the day of concerts, on the day of travel. Two and three and four different people. We send kits. We do all that because we're the National Arts Center. How much does the government give us? Not all that much, trust me. But would we ever see anything like that really happening here on the federal level in this country? I hope so. And the sooner the better, you know, because I've been talking about that since I can remember. When I was still in the days of Minnesota, I tried to arrange to bring people together. I got beaten down by everybody, you know. So we have to have competition in this country. That's what it's made up of. But competition doesn't work in music, not long term.
We just posted a link to an article about the effect of classical music on anxiety and depression on our Facebook page.
It's positive effect.
Absolutely, yes, a positive effect. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the quantifiable effects on testing and math skills
sound,
and so forth.
Sound is everything.
That's right.
Without
That's
sound. Right. You know, I always give the example with kids on that first Hitchcock film called The Birds. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Black
I
and
remember
white.
It well, yeah.
Remember the house with all the birds around it? Well,
yes.
Most of them were electric anyway. It wasn't real birds. You turn off that sound and nothing happens in that scene, mm-hmm. you know? It's kind
mm-hmm.
of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yes. Well, being one steeped in the traditions of radio drama, I know
yeah.
exactly what you mean about sound being everything.
It can create the mood, for better or for worse.
Well, this is a lovely... I listened to this again this morning, and it's irresistible. I mean, the piece in general with this performance sparkles as much as any of them. And this is actually one of your latest, very latest collaborations, isn't it, this Trout?
Oh, the Trout Quintet. Yes, well, there's Amanda in there, of course. She's really plays a major role. There's Fema Bronfman, which was the great pianist of our time. I met Fema when he was 15, and I was about 23 or something, or 24. And... of course, Jethro is one of my former students. He's a fantastic player. He's 6'5", plays tennis like a son of a gun. And
wields a mean viola. And then you have
yeah,
Joel Corrington.
And Joel is one of the icons of the bass world. It's quite something.
Well, we'll hear the third movement of the Trout Quintet by Schubert. Always nice to have the whole Trout, but there you get certainly some scales and a lot of great playing from our guest and his companion performers in that quite recent release on the Sony BMG label of the Trout Quintet of Schubert and Mozart's Piano Quartet in E-flat.
That was the third movement with pianist Yevhim Bronfman. Our guest, Pinchas Zukerman, Jethro Marx, and Pinchas's wife, Amanda Forsyth, and Joel Quarrington.
You know, we've talked a little bit about practicalities and classical music. Practicalities aside, what would be your dream program to play?
Dream program?
Yeah.
Ooh, it depends. With orchestra, you mean?
Sure.
Well, one in particular that I'm doing, finally, I'm going to get to do next fall, in the beginning of this, 39, 40, and 41, those three symphonies. That's it's been a wish of mine, and I've never been able to do all three for some reason in a concert.
And they are kind of lumped together. I mean, he wrote them all in the same summer, and they're linked in some ways.
I don't know, actually. There's so many. I would say that the Beethoven symphonies... Not that I would want to do all of them necessarily in one day like Lorin Maazel did once. But I would say that it's a high priority. I've played in consecutive days all the Beethoven sonatas, all the Brahms sonatas for violin and viola. So I've done a lot of that. I don't know. I would say that if I could probably do the three great operas of Mozart in consecutive days, if that's possible... there would be a kind of a dream come true, but it has to be a fantastic house in the perfect conditions, etc. So there's so much great music that I think we all are so privileged to be part of. I find that going over stuff that I've done before, stuff that I've done recently, over and over again, even if it's as repetitive as it sounds, it's still a remarkable achievement to be able to always find something new. And achievement from the practitioners. When we go on tour, particularly, recently I've been on tour with the Royal Philharmonic, and we do a Dvořák symphony, and when it sounds beautiful, everybody gets off that stage and goes, yeah, that's what it's about, you know?
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if you just travel 19 hours that day. It's a really fantastic feeling.
And the audience feels high as a kite well.
The audience is there, of course. Amazing.
Are you aware of the audience at all when you're playing? I mean, even if they're not immediately responding, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Of course you're
it?
Aware. I mean, it's not like playing in an empty room. But do I go into their heads? No, not really. In my head, I don't go into their heads. Let's put it that way. I just try to make what I know how to do best at that moment. And if the right acoustics and if you've got the right weather... and the lights don't bug you, it can be okay.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Sometimes it turns out pretty well, doesn't it?
We were talking about young musicians and instruments. You and your wife both have pretty special instruments. Can you tell us what you play on and what she plays on?
Well, I have a Galgesu Guarneri made in 1742. This remarkable town called Cremona. And Amanda has a Testori, Carlo Testori, 1699, from Milano. It's a beautiful instrument, great maker. I know more Testori now, of course, with the cello, but I knew one violin a long time ago. It was a wonderful maker. But he's, of course, the height of Cremonese makers is about somewhere between 1560 and about to 1760, to about 200 years of extraordinary violin, cellos, violas. Remarkable.
When you two are on the road with these incredible instruments, do you have to do anything special for them in the hotel room or any kind of special care?
No, as long as we are comfortable, the instrument will be fine. It can't be too cold as you go outside. The cello can crack if it's 20 below or something like that, if it's too long, if you stay out there. So we try not to avoid that.
We kept it warm for you here just for that reason.
I know,
reason.
It's very nice, actually.
Yeah, for Wisconsin, well,
living
not bad.
In Ottawa, you're not unfamiliar
with... Well, we have a heated garage, you see.
Okay.
We have a heated garage, and we go into a heated garage, so there's no problem there. Yeah. The airlines, though, sometimes give us big problems with the cello, and that's really silly. I don't understand that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Maybe that'll settle out after a while.
Our guest is Pinchas Zukerman, an honor to have this amazing world-class violinist right here in Wisconsin. He's going to be appearing this weekend along with his wife, cellist Amanda Forsyth, with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. If you're interested in the program and in tickets and all of the details, you can visit their website at madisonsymphony.org.
Well, let's see, the program, I can just tell you, we have that much time. This is Kol Nidre by Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a cello work, a cello showpiece, you might say. A piece by Saint-Saëns called The Muse and the Poet, which is a sort of a rarity for violin and cello and orchestra. Then there's our guest, Pinchas Zukerman, conducting and soloing in the fifth and last of Mozart's violin concertos. And then, as if that weren't enough, the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony, which is, you know, worth the price of admission in its own right, as is any of the other pieces. So quite the gala concert coming up. And this, on a much more modest scale, is actually one of the earlier recordings that you made with your wife, Amanda. And it's one of the, let's see, how many did you write? Four flute quartets, right, Mozart?
Flute quartets? I thought three.
Was it four? You have four here, so I'm assuming they're all genuine.
These were commissioned by an amateur flute player, and Mozart was paid for his work.
And, I mean, Mozart did say some funny things. I don't want to digress too much onto the flute, but Mozart wrote these kind of under protest in 1778. He was in love. He wanted to do other things, but he'd already taken the money. So he had to write them, and he said, I don't even like the flute. But I think he was speaking kind of hyperbolically there.
This flutist is, I believe, the principal from the National Arts Orchestra.
I don't know which one.
Joanna.
Oh, is that, if that's the record. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, now it comes back. That's a good 10 years ago already. Yeah. Maybe nine or so, yeah.
And the last name is G apostrophe.
Gaffer, yeah.
Gaffer.
Right.
Okay.
She's from Vancouver. Mm. She's been in the orchestra already 14 years. She, and in fact, the oboe player is American from Lincoln. His name is Chip Heyman, and he's been there. The two of them went to Interlaken, believe it or not, together.
No kidding.
So they've been sitting next to each other for a century already. It's wonderful, because you don't have to say anything. As you say, Joanna, do you think? Yeah, sure, no problem. You know,
psychic bond.
It's wonderful. The two of them just go, oh, it's great.
Well, she's the flutist in this quartet in G by Mozart. We'll also hear Pinchas Zukerman playing the viola. Martin Beaver is the violinist. And your wife, Amanda Forsyth, is the cello player.
It's pretty and it's sublime stuff, even if Mozart did chafe at writing that.
But writing for
at the
commission.
Age of 22, he was still very much a 22-year-old. He might have been a genius, but he was still 22.
That was a flute quartet in G featuring our guest Pinchas Zukerman playing the viola, as well as Martin Beaver violin, Joanna Gaffer flute, and Amanda Forsyth cello.
And now it is time to let our guest get some lunch, actually. Much as we'd like to spend the balance of the hour with you, we'll have to settle for your music. But it's been a pleasure having you back with us.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you, too.
Our guest has been Pinchas Zukerman, and he'll be appearing this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra, along with his wife, the cellist Amanda Forsyth, and they'll be performing together in a piece called The Muse and the Poet by Camille Saint-Saëns. And he'll be conducting and playing the solo violin part in Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 5. And she'll be performing the Bruck Kol Nidre. It's going to be an action-packed weekend at the Madison Symphony. You can find information at madisonsymphony.org or phone 608-258-4141. Thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Hurry back.
Okay.